Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Christian, it's not about you. It's not about how you look. It's not about you trying to be the coolest and the hippest. And I'll say it to pastors as well. It's not about you wearing the latest, you know, boots that are out, or the latest outfit that's out there, or the coolest and the hippest shirt. It's about Christ being magnified in you.
If you've ever been to a Christian music concert and left praising God and thinking about His greatness instead of thinking about the well-known musician you just saw, then you've experienced exactly what it means to see God glorified in the life of a believer. May that be our goal, that all would see Jesus in us and be drawn closer to Him. With more from last time out of Philippians 1, 19 through 26, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson.
Are you ashamed of the gospel because you're worried that the people in the world won't think you're cool? Because you're worried that they're going to somehow categorize you as a fanatic Christian, as a guy that's over the top, as a guy that's gone too far? You need to go too far with Christ. You need to go over the top with Jesus. You need to give Him everything. And you need to live with Him in such a way that people say, that guy's a fanatic for Jesus. That guy's a nut. You need people saying that about you. We get so worried about who we are. I'm going to show them that you can be a Christian and be cool. Because I'm a Christian that's cool, and I'm going to show them that. Trust me. As soon as you start telling them there's no other way under heaven by which men can be saved but Jesus, they're no longer going to think you're cool. Can't we all be inclusive? Can't we all just get along? Right? Are you ashamed of the gospel? And if you are, may you repent. May you be willing to stand for Christ. May God open up a door for you. May you step through it. May you blaze through the door when a door opens up. As someone begins to bring questions, as someone starts to say, I don't know what life is all about, may you say, I do. I've discovered it, and let me share you. May you have pamphlets that you hand out and give books to people that are struggling over things. Invite them to concerts and to spiritual things. Invite them out to church. Share them your testimony. Be bold, which is the next thing that Paul says. He says, according to the earnest expectation of the hope, in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always. So now, with all boldness, he says, I have an earnest expectation and hope that with all boldness, I'll be willing to stand up for Him. That wherever you go tomorrow, wherever you go later on this afternoon, that you would be bold to share the gospel. That you would look for those opportunities, no matter how annoyed people get at you. There's an atheist who was debating a Christian many years ago now. And the atheist made this point in his debate. Room is full of atheists and Christians, and the atheist took a moment to talk to the Christians. And he said, if I believed what you say you believe, that the people who don't know Jesus are going to go to hell, a place where the worm never dies and where the fire never goes out, the screams of their torment go up forever and ever, then I would call across the United States on my hands and knees on glass to see one person rescued from that place. He then went on to claim that he believed that they didn't really believe that. Jesus talked about hell as much as he did any subject because he knew people would be there. How bold are you to share the gospel? How willing are you to step up and look like? Jesus said, the world hates you, but they've hated me before they hated you, and it's not you they really hate, it's me they hate. And if they're going to hate me and they're going to think poorly of me because of my boldness for Jesus Christ, then so be it. That's fine with me. We had a memorial service here at the church. There was a helicopter that went down. I think it went down on Park, if I remember correctly. The pilot, there was a flight paramedic and a flight nurse. All three of them died. We had the memorial service here at the church for that. The chaplain that did the service, I was asked to wrap things up at the end. The chaplain that did the service did a great job. He used John 11. He talked about Jesus being the resurrection and the life. He talked about Jesus weeping. It was all very good. Did a great job. Although I thought there wasn't real clarity in what it means to be a Christian. And a couple of the other people that came up and just kind of put him in heaven, not talking about whether or not, you know, what it takes to get to heaven. They just kind of came up and we said, we know these guys are in heaven. Now, whether they're in heaven or not, I don't know. I don't know where they were in their faith with Christ. So I felt I had been given the responsibility of wrapping things up. I felt that needed to be clarified. So when I came up, I simply said, listen, it's not about going to church. It's not about being called a Christian. It's about knowing Jesus Christ. The Bible says there's no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved but the name of Jesus. Jesus himself said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And your destiny will be hell if you don't know Jesus Christ in heaven, if you develop a relationship with him. Yesterday afternoon, I got a call from a friend of mine who said, listen, I was having breakfast this morning, and there was this gal at the table next to me, and she was going on and on about a pastor. How dare he use that venue to talk about eternity and Jesus during that time? And all of a sudden, he clicked, and he listened in, and she was talking about that service. And so he said something to me that I thought was very insightful. He said, she probably can't remember what she had for breakfast yesterday, but she's still thinking about what you said 12 days ago. The Holy Spirit is still pricking her. Now, I'm not telling you that it was a great bold thing for me to share that, all right? It's not a bold thing to share from your own pulpit to those who are in your own church, okay? Doesn't take great boldness to stand up here and speak the truth in these settings. So I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm a really bold person. All I'm saying is that your boldness will pay off. That the Holy Spirit is also working. And you never know, as you share the truth, how that still might be digging at somebody weeks down the road. And you think, it didn't do anything. It was not effective at all. But God's working. God's moving. May God give us boldness. Paul then goes on to say, with all boldness always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or death. Paul says, I want Christ magnified in me. Paul wasn't about building his own kingdom. Paul didn't hire a PR company. We don't need to hire PR companies anymore. We do a good job of that ourselves. We've got tools for our image. We can put it out there. We have Facebook. We have Twitter. We can use those to dress ourselves up and make ourselves look good. And you say, no, that's not what Facebook is. Why then is your picture 20 years old that's up there? If it's not about you trying to promote yourself. And you think about Twitter. What is Twitter? Brushing my teeth now. Having my coffee now. Beautiful day outside here. A little hot. What is that all about? Like what? People want to look around and read, what is Robert Furrow doing right now? What is he doing right now? What is he doing right now? And I'm on there on Twitter, let you know what I'm doing. And I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. And then on Facebook, I like. Brushing my teeth, now I like. There's five people that like that I'm brushing my teeth. Yes! And am I right about this, guys? You go back and you look, you get your computer and you bring it up and you, Facebook. How many people? Oh, there's only three that like it. I was hoping I would get, I'm going to put it up again. Maybe I can get more people to like it now. Maybe no one was around. That's why they didn't like it. We're all trying to get people to look at us. We live in a world that's very narcissistic. And unfortunately, pastors are narcissistic. I looked up narcissism yesterday, and you know what I found out about it? It's a mental disorder. Did you know that? When someone is narcissistic, they can't look beyond themselves to other people. It's all about me. It's always me. It's all about me. It's all about me. Hi, how are you doing? I'm doing fine, and I'm doing fine. And I am real. It's all about them. You know who Narcissus was? In Greek mythology, he goes along, and he looks at the ground, and he sees a puddle of water. And he looks, and he sees his reflection in the water. And I'm good looking. Look how good looking I am. And he stares at that water until he dies. That's narcissism. You become so caught up in yourself. Everything about you. Don't we live in that day? We hear people talking about twisted body types or not proper view of body types. In other words, a person can look in the mirror and they don't see themselves in reality. When by the time it gets back to them, they think they look something radically different than whatever they looked about. So they end up going to the surgeon to try to end up looking like what they think they ought to look like. Christian, it's not about you. It's not about how you look. It's not about you trying to be the coolest and the hippest. And I'll say it to pastors as well. It's not about you wearing the latest, you know, boots that are out or the latest outfit that's out there or the coolest and the hippest shirt. It's about Christ being magnified in you, that he would see us and see Christ. We pray before the service on a regular basis. One of the prayers that we pray is, Lord, as people leave this place tonight, may they not leave saying, what an awesome worship set, or what a great sermon. Man, that was funny. Really enjoyed that. Great sermon. But may people leave saying, what an awesome God we serve. Our goal is not to try to impress you through worship or our abilities. Our goal isn't to try to impress you through the sermon. Our goal is to take a spiritual truth and bring you before Jesus, that you would fall in love with him, that you would be committed to him. Now, there's two different ways in which you could be magnified, right? You have a magnifying glass that takes something small and magnifies it. Now, we have been chosen to be a magnifying glass to this world. There's no other place that the world can go to see Jesus except through you. If Christ is not magnified in your body, people aren't going to see him. Now, God could have chosen to do it another way, but he didn't. He chose you. And you have that call. We talked about it last week. You have been told, go preach the gospel in all the world. You say, well, I'm just waiting to hear from God of where he wants me to go and what he wants me to say. You already got it. Keith Green's song, Jesus commands us to go. So why are you still here? It's a good statement to some degree. What are you waiting for? You've already been told to go. You've already been given the message. What are you waiting for? Secondly, magnifying glasses used in telescopes to take something that is very far away and very large and bring it into view so you can capture it. Someone told me last night that they thought that that's the better view of the Christian life, that we are like a lens on a telescope and Christ is magnified as we look through it. People are able to see, gee, he's so far away, he's so big. But our lives bring him down to earth and help people to have an understanding about who God is and what Jesus is all about. Now, Paul says that he would be magnified in my life or my death. That's the win-win situation. Again, we say, you know, someone might be considered to be nuts to say it's a win-win situation for me. You know, if you're ever in a rollover, you don't go, well, this is a win-win. If I survive the rollover and live, if I don't, it's a win-win. You don't say that. But Paul does. He says, I want Christ to be magnified, whether in life or by death. And then he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And if you look at your Bible, the word is there is in italics. In other words, what he says here, and the italics means it's not in the original text. It's added by the translators to help give it a little bit better understanding. Literally what he said was, for me to live, Christ, and to die, gain. That's what he said. Now, who can say that? Could Paul say that? For me to live, Christ, to die, gain. Paul could have lived for any other things. Paul said, we are in a battle. We are called to march against the gates of hell. We were talking a moment ago about the suffering, the sorrow, the cries, the terror, the horror of hell. And Jesus said to Peter, in establishing the church, I've given you the keys to the kingdom. And the gates of hell will not prevail against you. We have been given that message. Paul says, a soldier doesn't entangle himself with the things of the world. He's about the business of the fight. He says, we compete, but we don't compete for a perishable crown. We compete for that which is eternal. That's the souls of men and women who would be lost. What do you live for? Paul says, for me to live is Christ. Paul could have used other things. People in his day lived for all kinds of things. We're talking about the Roman Empire here. In Rome, there were people living for pleasure. There were people living for sex. There were people that were living to molest children. There was all kinds of pedophilia that was going on in the Roman Empire. It was horrendous, like no other time in history, by the way. There was all kinds of people living for the Pancratian or for the Olympics. The Pancratian is what today would be the UFC. That's what it is. It was exactly that. They said they didn't have the cage. They'd go out there and you could just, you know, no hold bar, do whatever you had to do. The only thing you couldn't do was gouge out somebody's eyes. That was basically it. There was one match by which one guy was choking one guy. The other guy was breaking his ankle In the Pancration, you could grab bones, you could take arms and snap them. It was all legal. This guy was getting his ankle broken. Crack, 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 crack. While he's choking the guy. And finally, the guy getting his ankle broken can't take it anymore, and he taps out. And they stop the match, and the guy died that won. So one guy had a broken ankle and had tapped out and lost, and then one guy won and was dead. There were people in their day that lived for the Pancration. They lived for those every 4 years when they had those Pancration matches. Like some of you guys, like two of you who live for soccer every 4 years, the World Cup, yeah, every 4 years. The rest of us, yeah, who cares? But some of you guys, it's what I live for. How about, it's August, fellas, it's August. Football right around the corner. I got to admit now, I'm watching a TV and they showed a couple of pre-football games. I go, football, ooh, I got a little bit of a twinge. Like, ooh, yeah, football's coming around. That's good. Do you live for that? Really? That's what you live for? Really? Really? You live for that guy being hung out there and then, bam, being taken out by somebody that's, yeah, did you see that hit? Do what you live for? You live for baseball? What do you live for? For me to live is aquariums. Really? Fish? There was a time in my life when I had a couple aquariums, I started breeding betas, out of all things. And I was a youth pastor at the time. I got so caught up in breeding betas. That one's red, that one's purple, that one's albino, cool, that I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing with the teaching. You might say, for me to live is model trains. And if somebody's got model trains right now, they're going to go, what? What's wrong with that? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of this. For me to live is golf. Boom, look at that. I'm just saying it's really, in the end, worth nothing. If you say, for me to live is pleasure, you have to say then, to die is loss. You can't say, for me to live is pleasure and to die is gain, because it's not. You've lost when you've died. For me to live is a 350-inch bull, for you elk hunters that are out there. To die is loss, because you're not going elk hunting anymore. Of course, we do live in Arizona. You're never going elk hunting again anyway, but never mind for that. A couple of you guys get what I'm saying. For me to live is my wife. To die is loss. For me to live is my girlfriend. To die is loss. For me to live is, and you can put in whatever you want to put. And if it's not Christ, it's always to die is loss. It will always be a loss. So what do you live for? And for some, it's for me to live is Christ plus golf, plus hunting, plus model trains, plus whatever. And I'm not saying you can't have those things. You guys know that. But what I am saying is they are nothing in comparison to Jesus. For you to say, for me to live is Christ, is the only way that you can say, for me to die is gain. And I need to quickly cover this. Wow, do I need to quickly cover this. Doesn't mean Paul wanted to die. Paul said, if I die, it's gain. Paul goes on to say that he wants to live. He wants to go visit them again because he wants to be involved in ministry. I'm not afraid of death. I believe that I can honestly say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I die, I will be in the presence of God, and that will be gain for me. I'm not afraid of it. None of us are guaranteed a certain amount of life, but I want to go on preaching the gospel. J. Vernon McGee, remember him? He still has radio programs on in certain places. Very country-sounding guy, right? He would say, may I say to you, my friends, if the barn needs painting, paint it. He's talking about makeup on girls, by the way, when he said that statement. That was one of his quotes. If the barn needs painting, paint it. He actually said that. He was a scholar, really. I don't know if you know this about J. Vernon McGee. He sounded so simple, and he gave such a simple presentation through the Bible. He actually sat behind a microphone and did it. You have to be certain dynamics to do that. Most teachings that are on the radio are like ours, Practical Christian Living, which is taken from here and then played on the radio. He just talked into a microphone. Well, he got cancer. He had retired from pastoring. He was just had a radio program where he just talked on the radio for a half an hour a day, going all the way through the Bible, and he just would go through the Bible again and again and again. Then he got cancer, and he asked his radio audience to pray for him. One person wrote and said, well, I'm not praying that you would be healed from your cancer, but I'm praying you would die from it, because like Paul, it's better for you to die. Because in a few minutes, Paul's going to say, for me to die is better. And he wrote back to her, and he said, please change your prayer. But then he went on to say, because I want to keep preaching the gospel. See, it would be selfish for him to go, listen, I just want this cancer to take me home because I'm done, and I don't care about these people I'm sharing. He so much cared about people and knew that the Word of God changed people's lives, that he wanted to continue to preach the gospel. He wanted to continue to stand up for Christ as long as God would possibly allow him. And then he actually says that. He actually says, as long as I have breath in me, I want to preach the gospel. This is from a man at that time, what is he, 85, 90 years old? And he's saying, as long as there's breath in me, I want to preach the gospel. Heard of a Sunday school room that was being taught by the pastor of the church that day. And the pastor comes in and gets the kids together. He says, listen, kids, how many of you want to go to heaven? All of them raise their hands, except for one little boy. And he says, Johnny, don't you want to go to heaven? And Johnny says, yeah, but I thought you were getting a group to go right now. None of us want to go to heaven right now. If the world gets that idea with us as Christians that we want to leave this world and go right now, we don't want to go right now. But we want to stay here and be used by God. And if you stay here for your own life, if you stay here to present yourself, if you stay here for your own PR purposes, if you stay here to let people know you're cool or you're with it or you're the most, you know, whatever it is, then it doesn't mean anything. But if it is to live for Christ and then to die is for gain, then you say, whether I live or whether I die, I want it to be in Christ. Now, I'm going to close. I've asked you three questions. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Did I share you John MacArthur's intro? No? All right. At a certain point, you can't remember which service you shared what. The introduction to John MacArthur's television program, he asked one question in his intro. He's got a picture of his church and people coming in and out of his sanctuary during the intro. And then in his voice, it says, why are we so ashamed of the gospel of Christ? I think that's a good question for the church. He doesn't give an answer, by the way, there. He just simply asked that question. Why are we so ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Repent. Turn from that. Who cares what people think about you? Can I say it again? Who cares what people think about you? Paul could care less that he had detractors. Who cares what people think about me? I don't care what the world thinks about me. If Christ can be magnified and glorified in my life. Are you bold? The next time a door opens up, will you be prepared and ready to step through and share the gospel? I don't care whether it's effective or not. Seeds will be planted. The Holy Spirit will be able to use it. Are you bold? And number three, are you a magnifying glass for Jesus? Or maybe are you a telescope for Jesus? Do people see Christ in you, the hope of glory, the hope of heaven? It's the only hope there is. Without it, we are lost. Stand with me and let's pray. Father, we are blessed. We thank you for your word. We are encouraged and we are motivated by what we see here. What an awesome text and how it speaks to us. Lord, forgive us for our own narcissism. Forgive us when we are caught up in me, 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 me. It's all about me, how many people I get saved, the things that I do, how big my church is, but me, me, me. Lord, forgive us. It's you. We don't care. We don't care how you use us. We don't care at what level. Like Job, though you kill us, we'll serve you. Like Paul, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. We want you to be lifted up and magnified through us. Lord, we pray that with all the fervency that we can pray. We want you to be magnified in our lives, whether we are in an auto shop or a doctor's office or at school or wherever you have us. Be glorified in us and open up doors and help us not to live for things like pleasure or drugs or sex or these things, that to die would be a loss, but that we would live for you. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast for Practical Christian Living. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to support it with your financial gift of any amount, please mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's J-U-L-I-A-N, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East and Southwest Tucson. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study. Drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore, or take a minute to look through our Mission Thrift Store located at our West Campus, which benefits our various missions projects. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. That's S-A-V-E-D at calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.